So Mr. Harold Camping is declaring as fact that Jesus will return on May 21st of this year. What do I have to say to that? Absolute nonsense. I'll tell you why today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to encourage you, make your plans for May 22nd. Oh, none of us have a guarantee that we will be alive that day. Proverbs 27 tells us, don't boast about tomorrow. You don't know what a day will bring forth. But that aside, I want to tell you for sure that Jesus will not be coming on May 21st of this year. He will not vindicate the words of a man who is deceiving many, many people and attacking the body of Jesus, the Messiah. Of that, we can be sure. I will tell you why. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I would like to open the phone lines, though, to any of you who believe that Jesus is coming May 21st of this year. You are following the teachings of Mr. Harold Camping, and you believe that Jesus is actually coming. I'd like you to tell us why. We invited Mr. Camping on the air. We heard from folks in his ministry explaining why he would not come on the air. I will read that correspondence to you today. It's fascinating. But if you believe that Jesus is coming May 21st of this year, I will put you on the phone ahead of anyone else. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. That number will self-destruct on May 22nd. No, I should be more serious. That's not the case. But if you believe he's coming May 21st, you support the teachings of Mr. Camping, and you want to enlighten our listeners who, like me, don't believe that, at least the great majority, I assume, don't believe that, 866-34-TRUTH. There is very lively discussion taking place on Facebook already with some very interesting and clever comments on our Facebook page. Ask Dr. Brown. Ask Dr. Brown. Check it out and then weigh in there, all right? You'll be glad that you did. You'll enjoy what you're reading. You'll learn from what you're reading, and you'll be able to interact with others and hopefully contribute to the discussion. Now, I'll open the phone for others as well, but I just wanted to give that first invitation. Let's hear it from Mr. Camping's own lips, exactly what he is declaring. Go ahead.
With the open forum, and we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question.
Teaching that the world wind on May the 21st, 2011, that there's quite a few people, older people and people like that, that have been taking their life savings out and sending it to your radio station. I was wondering if on May the 22nd, do they get a refund?
Well, the fact is, we don't ask anybody.
It's up to them.
What they are giving, we're not telling anybody what they are to give, and let each one make their own decisions on those matters. But thank
Can
you.
Can I say something else?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to say that you don't want to trick anybody. So on May the 22nd, they should get their money back. It's up to them if they want to give
Excuse me. May 22nd will be judgment, the second day of Judgment Day. Well, we don't know what's going to happen to Family Radio on that first day, or to the banks or anybody else. We have no idea at all. But it's going to be horrible. It's going to be a horror story that we absolutely cannot conceive of. Millions of people will die on that day and every day thereafter, and this kind of conversation of what will we do the next day, that doesn't make it's nonsense. It's utter nonsense, because it is going to happen. This is what the Bible teaches.
All right,
we don't. This is not.
Camping. This is what the Bible teaches. It's going to happen. They've written to us and said this is established. Fact. If you agree, call us 866-34-TRUTH. I'll tell you why I categorically differ.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I categorically reject the teaching of Mr. Harold Camping that Jesus is returning on May 21st of this year, and that is an established fact based on Scripture. Fact. And that is when Judgment Day will begin, and millions and millions and millions will start dying on the next day and every day thereafter, whatever today have till October. I categorically reject that scripturally. However, I'm going to allow others to tell me why you hold to the views you hold. If you agree, if you find his views believable, we'll open the phones to you, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online on Facebook, best place to interact in real time right now, Ask Dr. Brown. Ask D.R. Brown. Now, before I open the phones and talk to some of the callers that are ready to interact with us, let me share with you some of our interaction that our office had with Mr. Camping's office. And the most dangerous part of his teaching to me is not even the date setting. It is the call some years ago to leave the churches. That, to me, is the most destructive thing that he has done. So we sent the request. They said, okay, well, he's old. He may not be able to hear clearly. Hopefully the person interviewing him will have a deep enough voice, but someone was going to be there to help out. And then we followed up with that, and then they wrote back very politely, presented your interview invitation to Mr. Camping. He has declined to be a guest on Dr. Brown's program. His past experience with this kind of interview led him to conclude it would be of no value. It would just lead to argument. I have my position. He has his, you know, Brown, Camping. Then it would be one thing, Camping's office said to us, if both parties were in agreement. But it is obvious they are not, even upon the most basic beliefs of Scripture and eschatology. So Marcus, our producer, wrote back and said, how does Dr. Brown's view of Scripture as God's authoritative, infallible word differ from Mr. Camping's, as mentioned in your email? And here's the reply. Not knowing Dr. Brown's view of Scripture, I could not say. Mr. Camping and I believe each letter, word, and sentence in the original autographs were dictated by God. All right, first problem is the idea of everything being dictated by God will not stand the scrutiny of how Scripture came to pass. But let's put that aside. Every letter, word, sentence in the original autographs were dictated by God. Well, we don't have the original autographs, just for the record. The persons God used to record Scripture simply wrote as God's Spirit dictated to them. Again, we have no indication that that is the case scripturally. No personal commentary was included in the original documents. Okay. Then, secondly, the typical historical grammatical method of interpretation used by theologians today is not biblical. Rather, the only biblical method of interpretation is comparing spiritual with spiritual, meaning the Bible is the Bible's commentary and the Holy Spirit, the teacher, who must illumine one's spiritual eyes to understand. Well, certainly, that's how I read the Scripture. Even though I've studied the original languages and worked hard at proper interpretation of Scripture, I get on my knees, I get on my face, I open the Word, I ask God to speak to me, to give me insight. I humble myself before Him. I examine my life to be sure it's clean in His sight. I connect myself with the rest of the body so there's no arrogant separation as if I'm the only one that would know. And I find Scripture clearly interpreting Scripture to say it means what it seems to say. When it says that prophesies Jesus' death, he really died. When it prophesies Jesus' resurrection, he really rose. When it prophesies a supernatural birth, there was a supernatural birth, etc. So Mr. Camping's folks claim we must be given the mind of Christ in order to understand Christ's word, the Bible. Well, according to Scripture, I have the mind of Christ as a believer. Dr. Brown appears to aggressively defend his beliefs and feels it his life mission to defend the traditional Christian faith. Ooh, this is where I get deeply concerned. So the traditional Christian faith is completely in error. He appears, I'm reading from Mr. Camping's board member, Tom, he appears to believe the visible church is worth defending. In other words, those that we can identify as believers in the world today, whatever denomination group they're part of, God's bigger than that. In that sense, the church is invisible. But you better believe they're identifiable people on the earth, and the Word gives us instructions how to deal with one another as identifiable believers in the earth. Mr. Camping believes, as I do, the actual church of which Jesus was speaking is not a visible institution found in this world. It is rather all those for whom Christ died. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." I think of the institutional church as merely an empty shell that once contained something alive, but that something was extinguished by God. The light in the institutional churches, which did exist, was removed, just as the candlestick was removed by God from the church of Ephesus. Christ's true people, the wheat, see that God's Spirit has left the midst of the temple, the visible church institution, so they flee. I just want to say this to all of you following this teaching and all of you who have fled the churches. Our arms are open to welcome you back on May 22nd, and we won't bash you. We will help you understand how you got so deceived and how you followed a man teaching deception and how, by God's grace, you can lead a productive life in this world until Jesus does come. Okay, let's start with Frank in La Plata, Maryland. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hello?
Yes, you're on the air, sir.
Yeah. Now, I was just calling because I know there's a lot of controversy around Harold Campy, but I started listening to him years ago, and the biggest thing that really got my curiosity was the timeline that he did of history. I know the original that we mostly see is from Usher, I guess, showed that, you know, that the beginning of time started like in 4004. And watching, I don't know, again, if you've read a lot of his material, I've never heard anybody be able to actually say that his timeline of history was inaccurate in the way he goes through it. And it speaks about the different patriarchs and how it, he adds the date, showing the beginning of time being 11,013 B.C. So, again, if that being accurate...
Right, so let me just jump in, Frank, okay?
Sure.
Just so we can be clear on this. Number one, every serious historian I know, every serious archaeologist I know, every serious Near Eastern scholar I know, every serious biblical scholar I know wouldn't even give it the time of day. In other words, no one's going to refute it any more than they refute Mickey Mouse. It's just there's just speculation on his part. But here's the bigger issue. Here's the bigger issue. I mean, it's my area of scholarship. I spent, you know, decades studying Near Eastern languages and literature and the actual sources. I'm just telling you. You know, just like if I've never been to Maryland and I'm going to tell you what Maryland is like and you've lived there all your life, you'd have a difference. But let's just say his timeline is allegedly accurate. Wherever in the Bible, in the teachings of Jesus, in the New Testament, does it ever tell us that we can calculate days based on a timeline? Just one scripture. Show me.
Okay, well, if the timeline being accurate, I mean, if we look at the flood being 4990 as it goes down to that, well, again, it shows, as we know, and if we go back, I guess, Genesis 7, I believe, is where he speaks about God.
Frank, you didn't answer my question.
Yeah.
Where does the New Testament ever, a single verse, a single hint, anywhere in the teaching of Jesus or anywhere in the apostles, ever tell us that we can calculate the return of Jesus based on some type of alleged timeline back to the flood or anything like that?
Okay, what is in 2 Peter where he speaks about a day is like 1,000 years, but 1,000 years is the day to the Lord. I mean, he speaks about
Okay, what does that mean? What does that mean?
Well, it means that a day is like 1,000 years to God.
It's a figure of speech to tell. It's a figure of speech to tell you don't count the way people count, okay? But I asked you again, where does it ever tell us to calculate? This is a big thing, Frank. Very major. Where does it ever tell us to calculate the return of Jesus based on counting days or counting years in the New Testament,
numbers,
ever?
I mean, and I'm sure you're somewhat of a scholar of the Bible also, and we know that numbers all through the, you know, if we look at the numbers, they're being used through the Bible. I mean, God...
Frank, this is a big thing. Harold Camping is preaching deception and error, okay? He's preaching biblical nonsense. I almost never use such strong words, and I wouldn't for someone that was an active part of the body, all right?
Yeah.
But when someone separates himself from the rest of the body, calls everybody out, claims to have this esoteric revelation, and the New Testament consistently, without fail, never, ever, ever tells us to calculate based on things like that. In fact, warns us about this type of speculation. That's what concerns me. Hey, we're up against a break. So I've got a special announcement about a resource I want to get in your hands that deals a lot with the issue of deception. Stay tuned.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm looking at a website here, Library of Date Setters of the End of the World, over 200 predictions and counting. Of course, everyone has to deal with Matthew 24, verses 35 and 36, where Jesus says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone." All right, so Jesus on earth in his humanity did not know. We would say he knows now. Okay, fine. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Followers of Howard Camping, others would say, well, that means no unsaved person knows. Of course, Jesus is saying no such thing. That's why he's giving his warnings. Many of you calling in today on the Line of Fire are basically saying, as I'm summing up what our call screeners are reporting to me, that Mr. Camping has lost his mind, is perhaps a polite way of saying it. What concerns me, friends, and listen, you heard me differ yesterday with Rob Bell, respectfully appreciating good that he's done for the body, but taking strong exception to some of his teachings. Someone said to me, well, why not just brand them a heretic? Well, to me, a heretic is someone who is outside of the faith. A heretic is someone who is hellbound, who has denied the faith. Let me take this a step further. I do not call someone a false prophet just because they prophesy falsely. As I see it in the New Testament, a false prophet is a wolf in sheep's clothing who is leading people to destruction. So I would say, here's a brother who prophesied falsely, or here is someone who falsely calls himself a prophet. But for me, to brand someone a false prophet or a false teacher based on passages like Matthew 7 and 2 Peter 2, that would mean that those people are hell-bound deceivers leading people to destruction. So as I asked the first caller, in terms of Harold Camping's views, that we know that Jesus is coming May 21st of this year, it's an established fact, he says. And when you look at his how he comes up to it, numerics and the multiplying this and that, he got it wrong. Got it wrong the first time around when he thought it was 1994. That should have disqualified things enough. Now he's being so ultimately dogmatic. I look at this as a mercy for those who have been deceived in following his call to leave the churches, because there's all those that are visible and identifiable, as if having a national or international radio show is not identifiable, but all those who are part of an identifiable body are deceived and need to get out. That's the most grievous thing to me. And that, to me, would raise the flag of this person being a false prophet. That's why I speak with such force. I would never blast a brother or sister in the Lord where we have differences in doctrine, where we have differences in different views, but you want to hear how far these guys go? There's a friend of mine, Dr. James White. And by the way, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-34-TRUTH, number, the phones are still open for those that want to defend Mr. Camping's view, that want to just show me why in the Bible. I'm a follower of Jesus. I love the Word. I've altered my views on different things over the years. Show me from the Bible why I should follow this teaching and overcome where Jesus says no one knows the day or the hour, and overcome the fact that even the whatever signs we should be looking for, that they haven't fully happened yet as I read Scripture and understand it. And I'm eagerly looking for the return of the Lord. Tell me why I should agree with him. 866-34-TRUTH. Online, AskDrBrown.org. We have a number of resources that you'll find very helpful. AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. I have a friend, Dr. James White. He's a leading apologist. He debates Muslims. He debates atheists. He and I have debated on the radio. He's a Calvinist. I'm not a Calvinist. We've had some great debates. He is a formidable student of Scripture and theology. We've had wonderful interaction, and we've teamed up together to debate those who deny the deity of Yeshua, the deity of Jesus, and God's triune nature. So he's a colleague, but we have theological differences. I'm charismatic in my orientation. He's not. He's Calvinistic. I'm not. He is a fine brother. We stand together for the gospel. We are one in Jesus. Here is what a follower of Harold Camping had to say about James White. Go ahead and play that clip.
Their own destruction. Now, what is your question?
Well, Mr. Camping, I wanted to relate this to the debate that I heard between you and Dr. James White. I heard truth coming from you and scriptures coming from you that you were reading clearly out of the Bible, and I didn't hear any scripture from him, anything that he was reading that was accurate, and he does have eyes and he does not see. He has ears and he does not hear. He does not understand the verses that he was even hearing from you. And I believe that he reads these scriptures in error to his own destruction, and that he's drunk in the wine of his false doctrines. But
all right. So my friend and colleague, Dr. James White, with whom I've had theological debates on different subjects, and we probably debate for years on areas where we differ in interpretation of the word, we are brothers in Jesus. I'm speaking to folks right now throughout America and those listening online around the world. And you may believe in a pre-trib rapture, I may believe in a post-trib rapture, you may believe in premillennial teaching, I may believe in amillennial teaching, you may be charismatic Pentecostal, I may not. You may believe fivefold ministry exists for today, I may not. You may believe in women in ministry, I may not. We could go down the line, all right? And we could talk about 100 different areas where we see things differently, yet we hold to one body, one faith, okay? We hold to one and the same Jesus who died for us and who rose from the dead and who is the only Savior. We hold to one family of believers that God ultimately knows who they are, but we do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Come on, Hebrews 10 is flat, plain on that. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And remember, the New Testament, the letters were not just written to leaders like Timothy. The letters were written to the believers in general to read so that we would know how to live and how to interact. My greatest concern is the call for everyone, which has been going on for years now. Leave the body, leave the body, leave the body. I want to say again to all you who are expecting this to happen on May 21st, when it doesn't, as sure as I'm sitting here, it will not. When it does not happen, and when Judgment Day does not begin on the next day, no one's out to bash you, friend. We want to help you. We are here waiting to help you get balanced, get strong. Okay, I'm going to take some calls on the other side of the break, but for our friends in D.C., Maryland area, I will be coming up this week to D.C., Maryland, Virginia for some meetings. We'll be announcing those tomorrow, beginning with a meeting at the National Press Club, where we are announcing the beginning of our campaign for religious tolerance and intellectual diversity. I want to read an excerpt to you from my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. If you have not yet ordered this, please go to Amazon.com and order what will be the most eye-opening book perhaps you have ever read. Ordered from Amazon, this way others will see the book. Check this out. This is some quotes from my chapter called Boys Will Be Girls Will Be Boys, Undoing Gender and Teaching Gay is Good in Our Children's Schools. This is from the UK's National Union of Teachers, abbreviated NUT, July 2006. It is particularly important to begin to make 3 to 5-year-olds aware of the range of families that exist in the UK today. Families with one mom and dad, two moms, two dads, grandparents, adoptive parents, guardians, etc. This is official policy of the San Francisco Unified School District School Board. Restroom accessibility. Students shall have access to the restroom that corresponds to their gender identity exclusively and consistently at school. So if Johnny consistently and exclusively at school identifies as Jane, he can use the girls' restroom and also locker room. From the Los Angeles Unified School District Reference Guide, gender is how you feel about yourself, male, female, both, neither, regardless of your biological sex. Friends, you need to read this book, Queer Thing Happened to America. Go to Amazon.com. Order your copy today. A lot more to come today on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Jesus is not coming on May 21st of this year. Why do I say it? Because Jesus will not vindicate the words of a man who is deceiving many and who is calling people out of the body and telling them to disobey Scripture, to forsake the assembling of themselves together, to break away from all recognized leadership in the body, and to await an alleged return, which will already be the second major false prophecy given by this gentleman. Michael Brown, glad to be with you today on The Line of Fire, speaking more forcefully than normal because of the seriousness of this error. 866-34-TRUTH to get in the conversation. Our phone lines are jammed, but the moment we see someone that wants to defend Mr. Harold Camping's views on this subject, we will put you to the top of the queue. Right now, though, join the discussion on Facebook. Great place to share your views. Great place to interact with others. Great place to get posts through the day about new articles, new resources, new opportunities to take part in things that our ministry is sharing. So that's Ask Dr. Brown. Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. All right. Let's start with Eric in Jersey City, New Jersey, listening on WMCA. Welcome to the program.
How are you, brother?
I'm blessed, man. Thank you.
I'm blessed as well. I wanna just say something, and it is in light of what you're talking about Mr. Camping. Our issue is not whether or not Christ is coming back May 21st or May 22nd or May 23rd. We have a lot of individuals who are being deceived because they are not enduring sound doctrine, which Paul emphasizes much in Scripture. But mm-hmm. that problem is because we are not teaching sound doctrine. Our problem is that we have gotten away from the foundation of what Christ wants us to do, which is to go out and preach his word, to have people's minds changed, to have them filled with the Holy Ghost, that they might not just survive here, but that they might operate in power. We have a bunch of people that are believing that they are saved, and they don't understand the first thing about their salvation. If this situation was to change and we were to become accountable again as we were, or as we are supposed to be, as the house of God, as the church of the living God, as the pillar in the ground of truth, then these situations would be happening a lot less frequently.
All right, so Eric, let me just jump in. I absolutely agree with you that if we as God's people were preaching a clear message of repentance and salvation through faith in Jesus, if we were living out a life that was clearly demonstrating that Jesus was risen from the dead and that the Holy Spirit had been given to us, I definitely agree with you that people would be seeing the real Jesus more. My question is, though, wasn't there deception even in Jesus' day, even in the days of the apostles? In other words, even if we're living this thing out in the fullness of the Spirit, isn't there still going to be deception out there?
We all are going to suffer the enemy coming towards us, trying to deceive us. Mm-hmm. But it is up to us to have a fresh filling of the Holy Ghost daily. That's why we need to be submerged inside the Word of God day in and day out, not only being a hearer of the Word, but being a doer of the Word. Mm-hmm. So that way when deception comes toward us, we are able to discern, as the Word of God says, we are able to understand, point out, identify what is truth and what is error. But again, if we're not in Scripture, if Scripture is not being taught in the church and being lived out by the clergy, which right now we are in that apostate state of the clergy, as we see with Mr. Campin, as we see even in the house of God where I am inside the Church of the Living God here
Hey, Eric, tell you what, I just got to jump in because we're up against a break, but thank you, sir, for calling in. Here, let me say this. There's no question that many are falling away. There's no question that many are fooling around. There's no question that there is a largely compromised gospel message that is hardly even the gospel that has been preached for a whole generation here in America, and we are reaping the bad fruit of that. I totally agree. And we don't have to be deceived. The word says, let no one deceive you and don't deceive yourselves. Yes, be doers, not just hearers. That being said, God is building his church. God has people following him. Let's join together, make a difference. Thank you for the call. Back with more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I will disappoint some of you who expect me to get on the air every day and bash different brothers and sisters in the body because I differ with them. Won't do that. Even taking issue with Rob Bell's new book, made clear yesterday, he's not on trial here. We are examining his book and his views and appreciating the good that he's done, but sounding a warning about concerns, dangers in his new book. That being said, when something crosses certain lines, when something is deceiving the body on a certain dangerous level and calling people out of the body entirely, then I will raise my voice even more clearly. And by God's grace, function as a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. 866-34-TRUTH. Do you agree with Mr. Harold Camping that Jesus is returning on May 21st? this year. Do you agree that we should all leave the body, leave all of the anything that is recognized as a church, house fellowship, a church that meets on a Sunday, Messianic Jewish congregation meets on a Saturday, Bible study on Wednesday, that you should forsake those because they are all apostate and God is no longer in them? I'd love to hear from you. I want to say this. There's a great danger when Mr. Camping's prophecies do not come to pass. Of course, there'll be some type of rationalization. I hope it won't be some horrific thing like a Jim Jones, a false prophet, a destructive act. But there'll be all kinds of rationalizations and perhaps even teachings of why this is actually happening secretly or who knows what. But for many, the danger will be they're going to fall away entirely. They're going to fall away entirely. They're going to reject Jesus. They're going to reject the Bible. Those are the ones we have to rescue and say, no, no, you were just wrongly following a man. We appreciate your sincerity, but you were wrongly following a man. And here are some of the ways that you got into error. And in fact, I have a resource. It's called the Revival Answer Book. I wrote it in the midst of a real outpouring of the Spirit where some were saying this is wonderful and some were saying this is not from God. And I was an eyewitness in the midst of it for years and have seen the fruit that remains now 15 years later. And I dealt with the question of what is deception and how can we recognize deception and what's the difference between constructive criticism and destructive criticism and how can we separate truth from error and how can we have all that God wants us to have without falling headlong into deception. It's called the Revival Answer Book, and here's what you can do. For a gift, an offering of any size to our ministry today, we'll send it to you. All right, those that have a lot, great. Those that have little, great. We want to get this to you. So for your gift of any size to our ministry today, we'll send you a copy of my book, Revival Answer Book, which will be chock full of relevant information. Here's how you get it. Call this number, 800-278-9978. That's 800-278-9978. And if you'd like to be a torchbearer, stand with us on a monthly basis. We have lots of benefits for you, more things that you can access, materials that we send out to you monthly. We would love to have you as a monthly torchbearer. So when you call and ask about that, 800-278-9978. According to the book by Rubinsky and Wiseman, A History of the End of the World, Hippolytus calculated that 5,500 years separated Adam and Christ and that the life of the world was 6,006 full days of years until the seventh, the day of rest, and therefore Jesus was going to come around 400. A prediction after prediction. You know the one thing they have in common? That's right. They're all wrong, wrong, wrong. Okay, let me try to get to a few quick calls. Neve in Brooklyn. All right, we lost Neve there. How about Dee in Largo, Maryland? Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon. I want to know what you would say if your own mother was knee-deep in this camping stuff. And how you would convince her to stop listening to him.
Well, Dee, I'm sorry to hear it's your own mother. The positive is at least she has an interest in the Bible and a belief in Jesus. So that's positive. Normally, this is not an intellectual thing. This is not a thing you can argue factually. It's normally a spiritual, emotional thing, a certain type of deception. I'm glad God is revealing it with Mr. Camping, perhaps because he's older now, being more and more dogmatic, saying this is a fact, this is not open to opinion or negotiation. So what I would do is I would be preparing your mother gently for a fall rather than arguing in advance, because we're just talking now 2 months off. What I would do is I would spend time with your mom and say, okay, now let's just say if, okay? Say, I love Jesus, I'm ready to meet Jesus, you know, as her daughter, you can tell her that. But let's just say if he's right, tell me everything that's going to happen. Right now, if that doesn't happen, I know you said it's impossible. I know you say it's definitely going to happen, but let's just talk about it. If that didn't happen, would that mean that Jesus wasn't true? Would that mean the Bible wasn't true? Or would that mean maybe that Mr. Camping made a mistake? Because a lot of people have made mistakes before. You know, she may be enamored with him. She may look to him or really think he's a great teacher. So it's not good to bash in that sense for someone who believes. But what I would do is prepare her for the day after. Not with an I told you so thing, but having her almost say, okay, I will agree that if Jesus doesn't come the way he says on May 21st, and if certain things don't happen May 22nd, May 23rd, then I would agree that he was wrong. You just ask her in advance. If that's the case, say, Mom, if we're all in the presence of Jesus on May 21st, I'll be the first to tell you he was right, okay? But if that doesn't happen, would you agree? Just see if you can have a gentle conversation with her so that the day after you'll be able to say, okay, he was wrong, but Jesus is faithful still. And then just start reading through the Bible and saying, you know, he had this whole system, but Mom, can you find that in the Bible? I mean, didn't Jesus just tell us to come to him and we'd find rest? And doesn't the word say that the ways of God are plain and simple, and that if you follow him and humble yourself, that he'll show you the way? And just try to direct her back in that way. If she won't even talk to you about these things and you just love on her and pray, and when the bottom falls out, help her not to fall into complete denial. Help her to overcome this by recognizing Jesus is faithful. Harold Camping is not. All right?
Well, she's been listening to him for more than 20 years.
Yeah,
and
I know.
This is not the first date he's set. This isn't even the second date he's set. So she's seen this happen before.
Yeah, well, this one's more dogmatic. That's why it would be good. That's why I say it's not an intellectual thing. It's a spiritual thing. It would be good if you could get her to agree to something in advance and even write it out. You know, Mom, would you agree? Because Mr. Camping says it's fact. Get whatever teaching you can from him where he says this is not an opinion. This is a fact. Okay. And there's no use talking about it. There's a clip I played at the beginning of the show. If you missed it, just go to AskDrBrown.org later today. Click on the Line of Fire. You can listen to that clip again. And say, he says this is going to happen. Millions are going to start dying that next day. It's a fact. There's no argument anymore. So, Mom, do you believe what Mr. Camping says? Okay, so then it's a fact. So then if it doesn't happen, he's wrong. Jesus said to beware of false prophets. He would be a false prophet. Right, Mom? And press it like that. See if you can get her to make some kind of commitment here about how she would respond when it's proven to be false. All right?
Okay.
All right. Thank you. God bless you, Dee. All right. Thank you. Hey. That's why we talk about these things. You might say, come on, this is so crazy. This is so... I understand, but there are people like Dee's mom that I care about, that God cares about, that Dee cares about, that are in deception, and it's destroying them. It's cutting them off from the body. It's cutting them off from fruitfulness and productivity. All right, real quick, Kim in Boston on WEZE. We're a little short on time, but please dive right in.
Okay, great. Dr. Brown, I had met you at the Revival in 96 and also in Andover, Massachusetts, with a couple that we knew. Their child was killed in a car accident in Mexico. Mm. And I sat under your teaching Wednesdays and everything. But now I'm looking in my Bible because God quickened my spirit about in 2 Timothy, how he reminds us that in the end times, like people that will rise up, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And they worm their way into the homes, and then they are like cankerous sores. And I think this campy guy is like that same type of person, like that's the one who, you know what I mean? They're trying to deceive the body. And if we don't have the Word of God ingrained in us, we will be deceived. Even those who seem so strong in the faith and know the Lord with all their heart, if they don't know the Word, I mean totally know the Word, you know, because he trusts the words of the Lord. And like this, I mean, when that person said something about a day is like 1,000 days or 1,000 years or something in the Lord, that's just saying, like, when we think of a day, you know
exactly.
what I mean? Time doesn't matter with the Lord.
Exactly. Yeah.
And again, the
point I was making to that call, and I appreciate the call, Kim. Thank you so much. The point I was making was the Bible doesn't tell me to look for the return of Jesus based on some alleged chronology and timeline. Look, Mr. Camping's timeline argues for a death of Jesus in the year 33. Most scholars I know would reject that and say it was either the year 30 or 31. But all that to say, something as recent as that and as major as the death of Jesus, there's still difference, disagreement among scholars. My best take is it was the year 30. But the New Testament never tells us, never, ever, ever tells us to calculate the end based on some alleged timeline. That's part of the problem. It's based on signs. It's based on other things that are going on. And the biggest thing is to live in readiness, to be fruitful, and to live in readiness. I want to talk about how we should be living on the other side of the break. Remember to get a copy of the Revival Answer book, 800-278-9978 for your gift of any size to our ministry. 800-278-9978.
God of light, hear our cry, send
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Phone lines are jammed with those who disagree with Mr. Camping's teaching. I'm glad to see that. I would expect that. Again, I want to make perfectly clear. You will not hear me bashing other brothers and sisters by name on the radio broadcast here day in, day out, as if I'm the one, I've got the truth. I am the man. I am the man who knows it all. No, none of us are the man or the woman who knows it all. There are fundamentals of the faith that are non-negotiable, that by God's grace I would die for. There are plenty of other areas where I recognize, hey, you may have insight I don't have. I see this way, you see this that way. We've been narrow-minded before. I've had blind spots before. But there are fundamentals for which I will lay my life down by God's grace. One of those is that there is a body in the earth that Jesus is building, that he is advancing his purposes in the earth, and it is an identifiable body with identifiable leadership and identifiable believers, and that those who call people out to forsake that. It's one thing to say, hey, I used to be part of a mega church. I'm in a house church now. You know, I used to be part of a house church, now in a messianic congregation. You're just talking about like eating at a different restaurant in terms of, we're all eating food, just in different settings with different perspectives. It's another thing we say, get out of Babylon. Any organized church is Babylon. That is deception. And one of the marks of a false teacher is that they draw disciples after themselves. Can I repeat that? One of the marks of a false teacher is that they draw disciples after themselves. Acts chapter 20, Paul speaking to the elders in Ephesus. That's why the Ephesian church, according to Revelation 2, was able to test those who claimed to be apostles but were not. Those who tried to take you under their authority, those who tried to tell you that they alone have the revelation, that is terribly dangerous. Here. This is supposedly, quote, and another infallible proof that God gives that assures the rapture will occur May 21st, 2011. You want to hear the, quote, infallible proof? This is massive level of deception. Quote, the number 5 signifies the atonement or redemption. That is, Christ died to pay for the sins of those who become saved. Right? First, just show me from the Bible clearly that the number 5 signifies atonement or redemption. That can be proven categorically. All right? This is one argument. This is seen, for example, by the half shekel, 0.5 amount atonement money, which pointed to the atonement. And this is seen by the 5 shekels being a picture of redemption in numbers 3, 47, 48. So that's, okay, speculation. The numbers 10 or 100 or 1,000 signifies completeness. The number 17 frequently signifies heaven. This is the alleged infallible proof that God gives that assures the rapture will occur May 21st, 2011. Those who follow Mr. Camping, when you find out that he has been misleading you and falsely teaching what Scripture says and taking away from the authority of the Word by saying it doesn't mean what it appears to say it means and that everything in there is some kind of parable that needs a spiritual interpretation, when you see he's wrong, Jesus was not wrong, the Bible was not wrong, you just followed someone who was wrong. Try to find out what it is that was in you that got you off track. So here's our alleged infallible proof now. Jesus was crucified on April 1st, 33 AD. Many scholars would strongly differ with that and put his crucifixion in the year 30 or 31. Some 32, but 30, 31 for many. Some 33. But the matter of hot debate among historians. May 21st, 2011 is 722,500.07 days from April 1st, 33 AD. 5 times 10 times 17 times 5 times 10 times 17 equals 722,500. So therefore, the atonement and redemption demonstrated by Christ's suffering and the death on April 1st, 33 AD. Number 5 is 100% completed on May 21st, 2011 when all the true believers are raptured into heaven. The number 17. Nonsense! Can I say again? Nonsense. That is complete bogus nonsense. That's not a house of cards. That's a house of thin air. And to say it's guaranteed, it's infallible, it's a fact, it's going to happen. When we invited Mr. Camping to come on and share his views, they wouldn't, because this is a fact and because we don't even share how to read the Bible. Because I say that, yes, Scripture interprets Scripture. Therefore, when you see in the Bible about putting certain people to death for certain things. You say, well, that's what they did. But they didn't put the sons to death for what the fathers did, Deuteronomy 24, because that's what was written. They didn't get some esoteric type of interpretation. They may get a spiritual application from it when God says, don't muzzle the ox that treads the corn. Paul says, hey, that's talking about don't muzzle the worker, don't muzzle the gospel worker. That's the application. Okay, I'm all for that. Great. I accept the spiritual application, and I accept the literal application. Did Jesus say that Jerusalem would be destroyed, literally? Well, yeah. Was it? Yes. Were our people, the Jewish people, scattered around the world? Was the city trodden down under the feet of the Gentiles? Just like he said, literally? Yes. 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 It was not some spiritual parable. So I want to urge those that are constantly looking for secret interpretations and secret revelations. How about feeding on the plain truth of the word? How about feeding on what it says that we ought to do? Hey, I've been talking a lot about my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Right now, gay activists working sincerely for what they feel is right are having a massive impact on our children's schools. Well, some of us are thinking, well, we're out of here any minute. Friends, I bring it up because in the late 60s, we were saying the same thing. We're out of here any minute. And we basically abdicated. And those with a vision to change society have acted on it. Let me read a poem that's in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. It's called Here at School, The Slant is Gay. You can get this poem in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Little Johnny went to school there to learn a brand new rule. No longer could the boys be boys or have their special trucks and toys. Only six, so young and tender. It's time for him to unlearn gender and break the binding two-sex mold, that hurtful thinking that's so old. Parents at home can have their say, but here at school, the slant is gay. In other words, to make this clear, there's nothing wrong with being queer. Having two moms is mighty fine. To disagree is out of line. We'll deconstruct the family and smash religious bigotry and keep the church out of the state by saying faith is really hate. Free speech can only go one way, since here at school, the slant is gay. So little ones, it's time to learn about famous queers, each one in turn. Lesbian greats long neglected, well-known gays just now detected. Some perhaps were man-boy lovers. We'll leave that stuff under the covers. Glisten will fill in for granny and help kids find their inner tranny. Those born in a body that's wrong will hear of sex change before long. And through the years, as Johnny grows, he will learn that anything goes. With Bill, who's trans, and Joe, who's bi, and Sue, who thinks that she's a guy. United in the day of silence, joining the gay-straight alliance. A queer new system rules the day, since here at school, the slant is gay. Get your copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America on Amazon.com today if you haven't done it. As soon as you get your book and get into it, please do post a review there. It'll help us to speak to many more people that don't have it. And I mentioned this. I mentioned this to say, here's my bottom line. We should live with anticipation of the return of Jesus and the day when he will destroy the wicked from the earth and establish his perfect kingdom here. We should live eager to stand before him clean and pure on that day. And in light of the fact that one day he will return and do all this, we should live with sobriety, with purpose, with joy, with faith every day of our lives here and now. That's my bottom line. Let's live for Jesus today. Well, there's a major false prophecy circulating that Jesus will return on May 21st of this year and afterwards judgment. It's easy to see how false that is, but how do you and I avoid deception?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I am very careful about blasting certain people on the radio. I am very careful to be respectful to brothers and sisters in the body with whom I have a difference. But when I hear something dangerous to the point of drawing people out of the church, dangerous to the point that many could fall away when false prophecies come to pass, dangerous to the point that those who do not agree with certain prophetic teachings are considered to be deluded and not even part of the body, that's when I raise my voice, and I'll do it today, but be practical, because the big question is, if someone else is deceived, how can I avoid being deceived? And how can I be so sure that I am not deceived? Michael Brown, welcome to the Line of Fire. Number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. That is 866-348-7884. Maybe you have heard the teaching of Mr. Harold Camping, who has been saying clearly for some time now that on May 21st of this year, Jesus will return, and this is an established fact. According to Mr. Camping, this is not open to debate. I'll read you some of his actual words in a moment, and we'll let you hear some of his actual words. This is an established fact that cannot be differed with based on his interpretation of Scripture, and that Judgment Day will immediately follow, and day after day, millions and millions and millions will be dying on the earth. I want to tell you categorically that is bogus, that is nonsense, that does not have an ounce of scriptural support, that is leading people into deception. And worse still, Mr. Camping for years has told people, get out of the churches. Anything that is an organized church, anything that is, quote, institutional church, get out, get out, get out, get out, because God is not in those places anymore. If you agree with Mr. Camping, though, I want to give you an opportunity to tell us why. I don't see any possible scriptural basis for this. Zero. But if you'd like to enlighten our listeners, if you'd like to tell us why you think he could be right, or at least give him the benefit of the doubt until May 21st, or you think that perhaps he's right about everyone getting out of the churches and that everything is apostate today, 866-34-TRUTH. I will put you at the head of the queue. If you've been hearing this and you're concerned because you know people, you have friends, you have family members that may believe this, and you're concerned and want to talk practically about what do we say to them and how do we deal with this, 866-34-TRUTH, or join in a very lively conversation on Facebook even as I talk to you on Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. Trust me, it is a fun place to be. You read a whole lot of fascinating comments. I just asked the question on Facebook earlier today, how do we respond? How do we respond to Harold Camping's claim that it's an established fact that Jesus is returning on May 21st of this year? Do we just take the approach of Gamaliel, who said, well, let's wait and see. And if it's not going to happen, then we'll see who's wrong. If it does happen, we'll praise the Lord. Is that the right approach? Some say, hey, either he's wrong or God is wrong, or this man knows more than Jesus himself. You know, all kinds of different views. Someone says this, I'm more concerned about his followers who are being seduced by his false doctrine. Yeah, absolutely. So I want to talk about today, first, why this thing is so bizarre and off. The other side of the break, when we come back, I'm going to play Mr. Camping's own words and then read some of the correspondence from his organization to ours. And then I want to talk about some principles of deception. I want to be as practical as I can today on the Line of Fire. We even have a resource that we want to send out to as many of you as possible that'll help you sort through, okay, if something claims to be the Holy Spirit, how can I distinguish if it is or isn't? How can I tell the difference between the counterfeit and the real? How can I distinguish between truth and error? How can I not be deceived? All that coming your way right here on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are talking today about deception. We are talking today about Mr. Harold Camping's words that Jesus is coming back on May 21st of this year, guaranteed. I want to tell you to make your plans for May 22nd, friends. Oh, I'm not being presumptuous. Don't boast about tomorrow. We don't know that we have breath tomorrow. So every day of our lives is in God's hands. But in terms of the return of Jesus, it ain't going to happen on May 21st. Number one, God will not vindicate the words of a man who is attacking the body and calling out everyone from the body and saying that the organized church is completely apostate and setting wrong dates and claiming to be the one with the revelation. I'm glad that the deception is being exposed on this level, friends. But God will not allow that to be vindicated. Plus, everything I see in Scripture would indicate that there are things that we should expect to see. Not some timeline, not some alleged timeline, but things that we should expect to see in this world before Jesus returns. 866-34-TRUTH in particular, if you agree with Mr. Camping and would like to say why. All right, so let's hear exactly what Harold Camping has to say. He's interacting with a caller on his radio program.
With the open forum, and we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question.
Teaching that the world wind on May the 21st, 2011, that there's quite a few people, older people and people like that, that have been taking their life savings out and sending it to your radio station. I was wondering if on May the 22nd, do they get a refund?
Well, the fact is, we don't ask anybody.
It's up to them.
What they are giving, we're not telling anybody what they are to give, and let each one make their own decisions on those matters. But thank
Can
you.
Can I say something else?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to say that you don't want to trick anybody. So on May the 22nd, they should get their money back. It's up to them if they want to give
Excuse me. May 22nd will be judgment, the second day of Judgment Day. We don't know what's going to happen to Family Radio on that first day, or to the banks or anybody else. We have no idea at all. But it's going to be horrible. It's going to be a horror story that we absolutely cannot conceive of. Millions of people will die on that day and every day thereafter. And this kind of conversation of what will we do the next day, that doesn't make sense. It's nonsense. It's utter nonsense, because it is going to happen. This is what the Bible teaches. This is not something where, there's a tiny, 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 tiny chance it might happen. It is going to happen.
All right, so this is as dogmatic as someone can get, okay? And again, I'm glad that the deception is being exposed. I want to read some correspondence that we had with Mr. Camping, because we invited someone from his organization to come on our program. And initially, Mr. Camping would, and then they said no, he wouldn't, and explained that someone from his organization, a board member, just explained to our office that the interview would be of no value. I have my position, he has his, and that it would just lead to argument. And the board member says this: it would be one thing if both parties were in agreement, but it is obvious they are not, even upon the most basic beliefs of Scripture and eschatology. So we then asked my producer Marcus to write in and say, okay, where do we disagree on Scripture? I just want to understand, because I hold Scripture to be God's authoritative, infallible word. So here's the response we got. Marcus, not knowing Dr. Brown's view of Scripture, I could not say. Mr. Camping and I believe each letter, word, and sentence in the original autographs were dictated by God. The persons God used to record Scripture simply wrote as God's Spirit dictated to them. Then, the only way to read it, typical historical grammatical method of interpretation used by theologians today, is not biblical. Rather, the only biblical method of interpretation is comparing spiritual with spiritual, meaning the Bible is the Bible's commentary and the Holy Spirit the teacher, who must illumine one's spiritual eyes to understand. We must be given the mind of Christ in order to understand Christ's word, the Bible. Then he goes on to say this: Dr. Brown appears to aggressively defend his beliefs and feel it is his life's mission to defend the traditional Christian faith, meaning that Jesus died, rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, will return, that he is the only Savior and salvation for Jew and Gentile alike, my words here, and that he is building his congregation, his Messianic Fellowship, his church in the world today. Yes, I'm absolutely committed to that. So the letter continues. Brown appears to believe the visible church is worth defending, and it is the visible church for whom God says the gates of hell shall not prevail. Mr. Camping believes, as I do, the actual church of which Jesus was speaking is not a visible institution found in this world. It is rather all those for whom Christ died. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." I think of the institutional church as merely an empty shell that once contained something alive, but that something was extinguished by God. The light in the institutional churches which did exist was removed, just as the candlestick was removed by God from the church of Ephesus. Christ's true people, the wheat, see that God's Spirit has left the midst of the temple, the visible church institution, so they flee. Satan was hired by God to silently infiltrate the visible church and seduce its members, the tares who remain. Now all that is left in the visible church are those who presume they are one of Christ's sheep. Jesus sadly will say to them who say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." To remain in an institutional church of any kind is disobedience to Christ's command to come out of her, my people. See Daniel 8, Matthew 24, Revelation 18. God often refers to Jerusalem as Babylon, and Babylon as Jerusalem interchangeably. To speak specifically for Mr. Camping and Family Radio, it is our belief, May 21st, 2011, quote, is no longer opinion but a matter of fact. Each person must come to entrust their lives to what God has written in his word, the Bible, and plead to him for mercy. Otherwise, God will come upon them with unmerciful vengeance of May 21st, 2011. That's what they said, a board member from Family Stations Incorporated. That, friends, is a false prophecy. That, friends, is a butchering of the Bible. That, friends, is misleading and dangerous teaching. As surely as I am sitting here, and more certainly as surely as Jesus is Lord, that is a false word. Now, I'd love to hear from you if you differ. 866-34-TRUTH. Walt in Portland, you're not in agreement about the date setting, but you're sympathetic to his comments about the church. Could you explain?
First of all, Jesus said that no one would know the day or the hour of his return. So
Agreed.
That's why I don't agree with Harold Camping on that.
Okay.
On the other hand, when it comes to the organized church, I'm going to give you the logic of what I believe on that. First of all, the Roman Catholic Church, which is over a billion people, is the prominent church today in the world. And the problem with that is the Roman Catholic Church has a false gospel. It's a gospel of works. It's not a gospel of grace and, you know, the free gift of God. So following that logic, and for other reasons, you know, purgatory, you know, wearing scapulars, praying to Mary, you know, it's got over a hundred errors and contradictions to the Bible.
All right, hang on, Walt. Let me just ask you a question. That's not what Harold Camping is talking about. He's talking about any Protestant group, any fellowship of believers, non-denominational. So we're not just focusing on Catholicism.
No, I know. I'm going to get there. I'm starting with that. Starting with that, okay?
All right, because we just got about a minute before the break, that's all.
Okay. So the Apostle Paul said that if anyone preach any gospel other than the one that he had preached, or that they had received any gospel other than the one that he had preached, they were under the curse of God. So therefore, we should not be attached to anything like the Catholic gospel. Now, the ecumenical movement has tried to bring in all the mainline Protestant churches, and it has done a very good job of doing that. So therefore, they are in league with the Roman Catholic Church. Therefore, they are supporting and in league with something that has a false gospel.
All right. Okay, but that's a fraction of the believers in the earth today that are not Catholic. We're putting Catholicism aside. I've preached around the world. How many countries have you been to, by the way?
Probably about 20.
Oh, okay. I've been to a couple dozen countries around the world, over 100 overseas trips, and work with thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of believers all around the world that hold to the same fundamental gospel, the gospel that Paul preached. And thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands all over America, and thousands and thousands and thousands listening now that hold to the same fundamental gospel, that are all part of churches and fellowships. And I'm going to lay out more clearly why I disagree. But Walt, stay with us. I'm going to let you come back and talk about this a little bit more. Way off to say that God has forsaken anything that can be called an organized church. God of light, hear
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, one of the most grievous things to me about this false teaching that Jesus is coming back May 21st of 2002 is not just the complete nonsensical way that it's arrived at from Scripture and the fact that it completely forgets verses like Matthew 24:36 that no one knows the day or hour, which of course they have to reinterpret, misinterpret, but this call that everyone has to leave any, quote, organized churches. Whereas Paul is very explicit in his letters. He's writing to believers in recognized fellowships. Hebrews 10, it's very explicit. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. The word very clearly talks about the role of leaders in the body and that we work together for the common good, for the good of the gospel. And that those that intentionally pull away, it's one thing to be in a city and you're struggling to find other believers, or you live in a country where there are almost no believers, but it's another thing where you pull yourself out and separate yourself from that which God considers his family, and you then judge to be Babylon. We've got to come out of Babylon. We've got to come out of the world. Yeah, but we are to be in fellowship with one another and not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. 866-34-TRUTH, talking about some very, very serious false teaching from Mr. Harold Camping, which could bring destruction on many lives on May 22nd and thereafter when his false teachings are exposed even more clearly than they've ever been. Many that are following him will then go into denial. So those that believe what he's saying is right and are listening to me now, we're not mad at you. We understand you're trying to be sincere. We're not mad at you. But when his prophecies fail, remember, he's a man who misinterpreted the Bible and set himself up as an authority. Whereas Jesus is perfect and faithful, God in the flesh, and he's worthy of your praise and adoration. Find some other believers and get back on track. 866-34-TRUTH, in particular for those that want to defend Mr. Camping's comments, 866-348-7884. All right, Walt, just with radio, it's not always conducive for detailed, lengthy arguments to be spelled out. But to recap for our listeners, you were arguing that Paul says anyone who preaches a gospel other than what I preached is cursed and warns the Galatians about that. Then in your view, the entire Catholic Church is part of that. And then the ecumenical movement joining with the Catholics is part of that. I still haven't gotten to your logic why everyone needs to leave all churches when I could bring you to tens of thousands of churches around America and around the world that preach the very same gospel Paul preached.
Yeah, no, I want to make clear that I didn't say, I never made the statement that you should leave every church.
Well, that's Camping's view, though. That's Camping's
right,
view.
Right. I'm not saying I agree 100% with what Harold Camping is saying. I'm just saying that there are parts of what he said that I agree with. And one of the things is we are to be in no fellowship with people who have a false gospel. And you have 1 billion Roman Catholics and about 400 to 500 million Orthodox and Protestant mainline churches that are in league with the Roman Catholic Church. That's about three-quarters of the organized church is in league with something that is under the curse of God. Now, what does that leave us? That leaves us with community churches, Bible churches, independent churches, maybe some Baptist churches that are, you know, more fundamental. I'm not saying leave those. You can also have home Bible studies and be in fellowship. We do have to be in fellowship with other believers.
Oh, okay. So here's the thing, though, Walt. You have to recognize that the great majority of people who are listening, or a large number of people who are listening to Harold Camping, are part of the very churches you discussed. I'm not talking about Catholicism, Greek Orthodox, and I'm not discussing that today. That's a subject for other programs, a worthy subject, but for other programs. But I am talking about the fact that someone is telling people, get out of fellowship, get on your own, listen to me, don't listen to anybody else. That is such a terribly dangerous and destructive doctrine. And it undermines so much that God does within the body. We're called to be part of a family. We're called to share life together. We're called to learn from each other. God puts different gifts and strengths within the body for certain reasons. And when we urge people to just get out, take off, leave, flee, and call that Babylon, that's a very serious thing in God's sight. And that's what deeply concerns me. I got saved in an Italian Pentecostal church. Almost everyone in that church had come out of Catholicism. All the older folks did when they got saved. And they went home and they smashed statues that they had. They felt it was idol worship. So I fully understand that mentality. I've been to Italy 20 different times ministering, and I know the battle there often between the established Catholic Church and the missionaries there and so on. I understand what you're saying. Again, that's a subject for another show. But my concern, sir, is when people are told, get out of fellowship because God has forsaken, quote, the organized or institutional church, anything that has a name on it, anything that meets in a building, anything that has a marquee in front of it, is somehow an error. That's the concern. But thank you, sir, for the call. I appreciate what you have to say. And again, the issue of Catholicism, Greek Orthodoxy, is that part of the body? We'll take that up. Hey, you, read the Pope's book on Jesus of Nazareth, his new book on Jesus, and tell me what you think. Tell me if you think he's preaching the same gospel, if he's preaching the same message. All right, let me tell you what concerns me, and I'm going to get back on the other side of the break about keys to avoid deception. Here's what concerns me more than anything. Not only are people being pulled out of fellowship, pulled out of the body, pulled out of productive life, but they got this mentality that it's all coming down momentarily and we're all out of here. And then when we're all out of here, you know, it's just going to be destruction. Well, you know, I heard that when I was first saved, which is going on 40 years now. I got saved in 1971 at the age of 16, 56 now. I heard that. And you know what it does? It puts this mentality in you, well, we're just out of here and we can't think about the world or making an impact or bringing about change. And here, quote from my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Edinburgh University has banned copies of the Bible from student dormitories after condemning the Christian Union for violating its equality and diversity policy by claiming that any sexual activity outside heterosexual marriage is not God-ordained. Agape Press reported this July 26, 2002. A Canadian professor has been fined 2 weeks' pay by a Nova Scotia university for telling a student that homosexuality is an unnatural lifestyle. Cape Breton University fined veteran history professor David Mullen $100 in response to two human rights complaints filed by a homosexual student who coordinates the campus's sexual diversity office. The student took umbrage at two letters the professor had written to his former Anglican bishop 2 years ago. He's a professor. He communicates to his bishop 2 years earlier. He gets fined. And I give you, in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, I have example after example after example from right here in the United States. People fined, people losing jobs, people kicked out of college programs. Yes, right here in America, for taking issue with homosexual practice. Why do I raise that? Because we said, hey, we're out of here. We're out of here. Jesus is coming any minute, and we're out of here. Yes, live in readiness of his return. But this idea, we're out of here any minute, and because of that, it's all over. We open the doors for others to take over our society and fight for what they feel is right. And we're going to have to apologize to our kids and our grandkids. If you have not yet ordered A Queer Thing Happened to America, what are you waiting for? It could be the most controversial, important book you read this year or maybe this decade or maybe your life. Go to Amazon.com. Go to Amazon.com right now, your first break. Make a note. Do it. Order A Queer Thing Happened to America. Once you get it, write a review. Post it. Let folks know about this book. It is essential reading today.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It's very deceiving. No one is knowingly deceived. No one knocks on your door and says to you, hey, I am here to deceive you. I'm here to rob you of your life savings. Sign up now. No, they come with a con. They come in a way that makes it look good. No one is knowingly deceived, friends. I've seen many church names. I've seen many denominational names. I've never seen First Church of the Deceived, Congregation of the Elect. The problem with deception is it's very deceiving. No one is knowingly deceived, and there is lots of deception right now coming from a gentleman named Harold Camping. One of the few times I will blast someone by name because of what he has spoken about, spoken against, and brought destruction on many lives. He's now saying it is an established fact. Jesus is coming May 21st of this year. Judgment Day begins. Millions will be dying every day thereafter. He has told everyone, get out of the churches. All organized churches, institutional churches, identifiable churches of any kind are Babylon. Believers must flee. Dangerous stuff. But if you agree with Mr. Camping, if you think he could be right, I want to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Getting the very lively, very helpful, very useful, very informative discussion on Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown. I want you to see how deeply people are enmeshed in this. I have a friend named James White. He's a colleague. We have debated Calvinism. We could debate other issues. He's a Calvinist. I'm not. He believes the gifts of the Spirit have ceased. Jesus cessationist. I'm not. We could debate lots of things, and we have debated some very passionately, but we are fellow believers. We are brothers and sisters in Jesus, working together for the gospel in the midst of our differences. James White debated Harold Camping, and here's a caller talking to Camping about that debate.
Their own destruction. Now, what is your question?
Well, Mr. Camping, I wanted to relate this to the debate that I heard between you and Dr. James White. I heard truth coming from you and scriptures coming from you that you were reading clearly out of the Bible, and I didn't hear any scripture from him, anything that he was reading that was accurate. And he does have eyes and he does not see. He has ears and he does not hear. He does not understand the verses that he was even hearing from you. And I believe that he reads these scriptures in error to his own destruction, and that he's drunk in the wine of his false doctrines. But
all right, that's strong talk. Here's a colleague of mine. We disagree on certain scriptural things, but brothers in Jesus, and we have stood together to debate the issue, say, of God's triunity or the deity of Jesus, Yeshua. In fact, on my website, AskDrBrown.org, if you click on our online bookstore, you can actually get a copy of 2-hour debate where Dr. White and I stood side by side to debate those who deny the deity of Jesus and deny God's complex unity, his triunity. Here, according to a follower of Mr. Camping, James White is not using the scriptures and is drunk on the wine of his own delusions. That's how far people are going with this deception. So what I want to talk about is, okay, it's easy to refute Harold Camping's end time views. I mean, Jesus does say no one knows the day or the hour. He does set up other things to be expecting before he returns. There's zero support, zero with a capital Z-E-R-O, zero support anywhere in the Bible, in particular in the New Testament, that we can calculate the return of Jesus. Find this for me in the New Testament based on some alleged chronology or numerology. It's easy to refute this. Plus, in 2 months from now, it'll be thoroughly refuted. And hopefully people will wake up, because this is not the first time he set wrong dates, but he's absolutely dogmatic now, perhaps as he gets older. What concerns me is the question, well, how can we avoid deception? How can you and I avoid being deceived? How can we be so sure that others are deceived? Those guys out there, they're really deceived. But I'm not. What are some keys to avoiding deception? We want to talk about that today. But I want to hear from those that agree with Mr. Camping, starting with Scott in Richmond when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, throughout the New Testament, we're told, don't let anyone deceive you. Jesus warns often that deception is coming. We're told, don't let anyone deceive you. Don't deceive yourselves. Don't be deceived. So how can we avoid deception? There is no reason why any of us should ever have to be deceived. No reason. No reason why we should follow false teachers, false teaching, why we should end up believing another gospel, why we should end up as believers following other forms of deception. No reason whatsoever. And yet, many are deceived. So I want to be as practical as I can in the rest of this broadcast. First, very briefly, draw a little bit more attention to the glaring errors of Harold Camping's prediction as to when Jesus is returning. But more importantly, focus on how to avoid deception. 866-34-TRUTH. I don't know that I'll be able to get to the call, but if you were part of some cult, some group, you separated yourself from the body, you went off into some extreme error, and you're back with God's people, you're back in the truth, and you can tell us how that happened to you. I'd love to hear from you. I may be able to get to your call. 866-34-TRUTH. Online, AskDrBrown.org. AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire and take advantage of some important links and resources that tie in with today's program. All right, Scott in Richmond, Virginia, you disagree about the date, but you agree with Mr. Camping on some other issues. So what would those be?
Okay, well, real quick, let me make a comment. I saw you on Sid Roth, and I heard you talking about your book. I plan on buying it as soon as I get paid next. It sounds like a wonderful book.
Thank you.
The date, I agree with you. Jesus, it was very, very clear. We can know the signs and the times, but no man knows the day or the hour. But when he talks about, you know, come out of Babylon, you know, it says mystery, Babylon the Great, mother of all harlots. That means she has daughters. And I think not all, but many of the mainline Protestant religions are actually, when they left the Roman Catholic Church, just like when a woman has children, daughters, they don't all look like exactly like her, but they all carry some traits of her, which therefore is part of the leaven that leavens the whole loaf. And I think you have to be very careful when you just give them all a broad scope because they say the word Jesus. Because Jesus said, "Many will come in my name, Lord, Lord, didn't we not cast out demons and heal the sick in your name?" And he says, "Be gone from me, I have never known you."
All right, so Scott, let me tell you where I clearly agree with you. There are many that use the name of Jesus that are apostate. For example, if I'll just do this as we're talking, I'll type in the words online, Jesus.com, right? And let's see where I end up when I type that in. Oh, Jesus.org, a wonderful website. Jesus.com, Metropolitan Community Churches. These are gay churches. These are churches that say you can be.
I have no idea what that is, and I would say that would be one of the ones I'm referring to.
Exactly. So in other words,
not all of them, but there are several of the mainline Protestant churches that
have apostatized. They no longer hold to the authority of Scripture. They don't believe Jesus really died for our sins. They believe there are many different ways to God. They believe that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. On and on and on. Oh, they're absolutely apostate. But the church that's growing around the world today, Scott, leaps and bounds, is Bible followers. In other words, people who believe the fundamentals, that Jesus died for our sins, rose from the dead. And there are plenty of fellowships like that all over America in most of our cities, be it a home group, be it a larger church, be it something that's part of a denomination, something that's not. So certainly there's all kinds of apostasy. People have been falling away.
Can I ask you one thing before you let me go?
Yeah, yeah.
A denomination like that? Because I have been searching for a church, and everywhere I've gone, I have found people giving in to political correctness, giving in to make sure their numbers don't go down, and they keep their money up. If I could find a church that's actually a gospel-believing, truth-teaching, Bible-believing teaching church that does not vary from the truth,
all right,
and sticks to that, and I have been to five so far.
All right, tell you what, when you get off the line, I want you to leave contact info for Joey, who's going to talk to you. All right, and we will refer you to some good fellowships we know in the Richmond, Virginia area. How's that? All right.
I would appreciate it. Thank
okay,
you
so stay on the line. Now let me say this: I'm going to go to plenty of places. I don't agree with everything, and if you came to our congregation here in Concord, North Carolina, Fire, you wouldn't agree with everything. That's understood. But there are plenty of places that are sincere, that are following Jesus, that have not departed from the gospel, that are not in it for the money, that are not in it to be politically correct. I'm sure in every major city in America, there are plenty of fellowships, congregations like that. So someone, we just need you to get Scott's contact info there, all right? And we will give some recommendations. All right, Walter in Jackson, New Jersey, you agree with Mr. Camping's teachings. Maybe you could explain why.
Actually, in the book of Matthew, chapter 24 and 25, when they start, they give you the same, there's three different formulas, actually. There's one in the chapter 24 and one in 25. And one of them has to do with the talents. On verse 15, it goes, and unto one he gave five talents, unto another he gave two, unto another he gave one. And verse 15, that's 5-2-1 right there. And on verse...
Walter, hang on just one second. Where does the Bible tell us that we're supposed to use that for numerology? Jesus gives us the interpretation of that parable right there in that chapter. He tells us exactly what it means, that certain people are given certain abilities, gifts, talents more than others, and everyone has to use them for the kingdom. He tells us what it means. I mean, I believe Jesus.
Wait, you're not going to let me. I mean, you ask me a question, but then you ask me why do I agree with him? These numbers here, that's only on verse 15. They get, well, Harold Camping doesn't agree, not that he doesn't agree with me, he thinks this means something else. He thinks this means get out of the churches. But when you look at these numbers, and I really don't so much agree with this about, you know, that thing about the churches, but these numbers are here, even on verse 15, that's 5-2-1. And on verse 20, they repeat themselves, and so he that received the five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me five talents. Behold, I again have gained beside them five talents. That's 20 on verse 20. And on verse 28...
Walter, hang on. I see you're passionate about this, but you're missing... Walter. Walter, listen. You're not listening to me. I responded by saying Jesus interpreted that for us. Jesus interpreted that and told us what it means and told us how to apply it. Where does the New Testament tell me that I'm supposed to interpret this in some type of numerology that's going to predict the day of his return?
This is what you could take that at face value if you wish. I mean, I'm not saying Jesus is a liar, but there's a lot more to these parables. When you read what parables mean on chapter 17, it says that he would speak in the utmost of, it says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundations of the world. And he literally means that. Whether you people say that it's a metabolic parable or just, you know, don't take it at face value.
Walter, Jesus told us what the parables mean. We are the insiders, his followers, and he told us what they mean. Why don't you accept the words of Jesus? Why do you want to put something on the words of Jesus that aren't there and create some kind of crazy system, sir?
I'm not creating it. It speaks for itself. When you look at all
five two one means that you have five more seconds to speak, but you spoke for 2 minutes, and I'm only giving you one chance. What if I put that interpretation on it, sir?
Hang on.
I got a break coming up. Walter, stay on the line. I may be able to get back to you. I'm not dissing you. But Jesus tells us what the parable means. We don't need to look for some type of esoteric teaching or try to figure out why this number here and why that number there. He's just using examples to get to a point. That is one of the ways, by the way. This is one of the ways by which we get deceived, when we don't take the Bible for what it says. When the Bible interprets itself for us, we have no business looking for another layer of interpretation, looking for some type of secret revelation. It is when we do that that we begin to fall into error. There's an important resource I want to get into your hands that will really help you. Pay attention to this special offer coming your way.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're talking about deception in the body, how to avoid deception. I'm going to give you a short checklist of ways to do it. Again, we have a resource, the Revival Answer Book, that deals with their claims God's moving, the Holy Spirit's being poured out. Is it really God? Is it not God? How can we distinguish truth from error? How do we discern the counterfeit from the real? What about the last days? Will it be more deception? How do we deal with it? It's yours for a gift of any size to our ministry by calling 800-278-9978. 800-278-9978 for your gift of any size with the ministry. If you can be generous, it helps us to speak to more and more people on the airwaves. But more importantly, we want to get this book into your hands. So your gift of any size, 800-278-9978. And prayerfully consider being a torchbearer, standing with us on a monthly basis. You'll get free access to our online classes. You'll get a new CD sent to you every month, a discount on our online bookstore. So when you call this number, ask about being a monthly torchbearer. All right. I'm limited in time, but Walter, I want to give you one last shot, just real quick, to tell me another reason why you agree with this numerological calculating the return of Jesus.
Okay, there's three different parables, chapter 24 of Matthew, chapter 25, and then Luke chapter 19, where he has the 10 servants and he gives them each a pound. All those numbers, when it's all said and done, it comes out to exactly 5/21/2011. And it's not because Harold Camping showed me this. I ran past him, and he doesn't believe this. It has nothing to do with his findings. And these numbers
What do you mean this comes out to May 5/21/2011? How do those different numbers become dates? Where did Jesus tell us to make those into dates?
How does he tell us?
Yeah, I mean, where did Jesus tell us to make these into dates? How do you know to take those numbers and not to use other numbers in his teaching? I mean, why not use the parable in Luke 16 where he talks about the guy that was in debt and all this, and he cuts deals with everybody and this won this amount? Why not use those numbers there and come up with stuff?
Well, I don't believe he's coming like a thief in the night, because I don't think he's a thief at all. I don't call anybody a thief who gives life.
But Walter, you didn't answer my question. On what basis are you using these things to set a date for the return of Jesus and ignoring many other numbers in Jesus' teaching?
Because on verse 31 of Matthew, chapter 25, and he says that he sent the angels on that number. 31 is also a representation of 2011, 20 plus.
Wait, the verses 31. Of the Bible, Jesus didn't speak that in verses. Is. Those were added in the Middle Ages, the verse numbers. All right, tell you what, Walter, we are out of time. Lord help Walter. Okay. I let him go on a little bit longer for a purpose, because I wanted you to hear a little bit more. Here are some of the keys to avoiding deception. All right. I don't know that I'm going to be able to get to any more calls. I apologize to some who've been holding for a while. Here are some keys for avoiding deception. Number one, beware of those who draw disciples after themselves. I could give you this in different order, all right? But beware of those who draw disciples after themselves. Paul warned about that in Acts, the 20th chapter. False teachers, false apostles who would draw away disciples after themselves with destructive heresies. I want to do everything I can to draw people around Jesus. And to the extent that you have to go to me to get the revelation, to the extent that you have to go to me to get the insight, to the extent you have to go to me to get the information, there's danger there. Any of you that are part of a group where you are told that you have the exclusive insight into the truth, what Jesus refers to in the book of Revelation in warning some of the congregations there about Satan's so-called deep secrets, this special revelation that only a little group has within the body, beware, beware. Because the ways of the Lord are accessible. The ways of the Lord are plain. And those who will open their hearts and say, God, give me insight, give me understanding, God will do that for us. Let me take this further. Beware of those who say that the Bible does not mean what it seems to say. There are literal prophecies in Scripture. God spoke of a literal dispersion of his Jewish people and a literal regathering. Those things have happened. He spoke of a literal coming of the Messiah into the world within a time frame that he would die for our sins before the second temple was destroyed. It happened. It didn't happen metaphorically or allegorically. It happened. Jesus said he would be given over to the scribes, the religious teachers. He would be crucified. He would rise on the third day. He was literally handed over. He was literally crucified. He literally rose on the third day. It literally happened just as he said. Acts 1 says he will literally return just as he went. What's the point? It's not some mystical meaning. It's not some secret meaning of, well, what is it actually? No. The words of the Lord are plain and true and clear, and those words are what bring us to salvation and eternal life. And anyone that tells you separate from the body, separate from leadership, come out and cut yourself off from the rest, that person is deceiving you. And anyone that gives you a license to sin and says, hey, you can live however you want and everything is just perfectly fine, that person is leading you into deception. Remember, you can get my book, The Revival Answer Book, that deals with a lot of these controversies for your gift of any size to our ministry. Call 800-278-9978, 200-978-9978, your gift of any size to help us with these radio broadcasts, and we will send you Revival Answer Book. Friends, we believe in being a voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. I'm holding in my hands A Queer Thing Happened to America. If you've not yet ordered your copy, may I urge you to go to Amazon.com and right now place an order. I'm looking at pictures of, looks like three men, one with a little goatee, one shirtless, looks like a man, heavy belly kind of hanging out. Another one, mustache, and looks male with this vest. All three are actually women involved in gay pride events, transgender activism. Friends, our society is unraveling in front of our eyes. I'm looking at a picture of two men holding their baby boy. Oh, they're not men. They're actually women who look like men. And the mother is a man. Friends, our society is degenerating around us while some of us are thinking we're out of here any minute. Let's wake up to reality. Let's wake up to reality. I am ready. I am looking forward to the return of Jesus. I'm longing for his appearing, and I am living and working and laboring now, today, with zeal, because now is the time to make an impact. So my bottom line, friends, don't worry about date setting. In fact, when people date set, ignore it. Smile and ignore it. And don't listen to those that tell you, separate yourself from the rest of the body, and no one has the truth except my group. Ignore that. Run from that. Find others of like heart. Live out 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee youthful lust and pursue righteous, holy living with others of like faith. And let's make a difference while we have breath. This much we know. Everyone who set a date up to now has been wrong. This much we know. Every generation that's come up until our generation has died. So let us prepare to live our entire lives to be 100 years old, laboring for Jesus while living in readiness of his return. And let's make a difference while we have breath. Remember, 1-800-278-9978. Get your copy of Revival Answer Book, and we'll be back with you with a whole lot more right here on The Line of Fire.